I have the key here. The key right here. Right here is the key.
Amen.
For your prayers to be answered. You start treading on my stuff a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is Thanksgiving. And this country doesn't realize how fortunate it is to have, first of all, to live in this country and have a holiday like this. We get this magazine and so does Karen, if you get the same one. And these Jewish people moved from the United States to Israel. They had an article in this magazine saying how they celebrate Thanksgiving still in Israel. It kind of blew me away how they, a lot of Jewish people, Jewish, Messianic Jewish, meaning believing in Jesus, and regular Jewish people, celebrate Thanksgiving in a way where they, pilgrims, when they first came here, they kind of thought of themselves as Israelis, as the Jews coming out of Egypt, called their king and King Abram, Pharaoh, and so forth. And that story really hits with them. It really sinks down in their spirit. They identify with that. And I was just looking up things in the New Testament here about Thanksgiving. And in Philippians chapter 4, start at 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, that's the key, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. With thanksgiving. If we just keep praying and asking and praying and asking, I'm sure the Lord answers, but we're supposed to be doing this with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, when you have requests of the Lord, like Mary said, thank Him for the things you do have. Thank Him for your life. Thank Him for your next breath, because nothing is guaranteed. Not even the next minute is guaranteed. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holiday we call Thanksgiving. We thank you for living in a land where we can celebrate this and just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestow on us. Sometimes we think life is so hard and tough, and it may be, but we do live in a land that is so blessed compared to other countries in the world. We thank you, Father God, that you bless this land. You bless us in many ways that we sometimes fail to thank you for it. And Father, we just thank you for this day, the Sabbath day. It is a day that we are celebrating you, Father God. We come to just to praise your holy name, to thank you for such a Savior as Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us, for coming down from heaven, being our Savior, our Redeemer. You are our atonement unto the Father for all our sins. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for the privilege of coming here today, worshiping and praising you. And we thank you in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you open up your Bibles, we're going to go to Psalms 136. Well, thank you for letting me learn how to use their tool to help them out. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. For him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him whose wisdom made the heavens, and for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And he made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To whom he led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Shiloh, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Gog, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state? His mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing in this place. Father, we just ask you to bless everyone that is here. Father, I just ask right now that every need be met in this place. But Father, we've come to give you thanks today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. The text this morning is going to be taken out of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks. We should be thankful to the Lord in the good times and the bad times. Thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and our attitude. We heard a lot about the Apostle Paul. And, you know, people are so critical of each other. And truthfully, most of us in this room would have never chosen Paul. He killed Christians, and yet he was a Jew himself. It was so amazing that I want to say the majority, but I don't know if that's a good enough word, but most of the New Testament was written by Paul. And so often people are so critical because people just don't meet their standards, or they don't like the way they look, or the way they talk, or the way they whatever. And I want you to know this, that the Lord knows our heart and knows the hearts of everyone. And I want you to know we should be thankful that we are allowed to come into his sanctuary this morning to thank him for all that he has done for us. I don't know about you, but I never really thought about thanking Paul for giving us most of that New Testament. But one of the things that I realized was that he knew God. You cannot know God by just coming here on Sunday. You have to spend time in his presence and really get to know him. You see, it's when we can come face to face with him When we can look him right in the face and allow him to look at us, and we're looking at him and he is talking to us, that's relational. And that's what he wants for every one of us. It's amazing that everything in the Old Testament was out of service, was not out of love. The Old Testament was truly out of just service. These are the things we have to do. And you never went against what you were told to do. You just weren't. But the New Testament, we should be thankful about, because when Jesus came, that was the new covenant, which means that we can go right into the throne room of God with all of our problems, with all of our petitions. And you know what? Not one of us in this room could do that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood. Him dying for you and me. I really believe in my heart, and I know that. I don't have any problem understanding the Godhead. I really don't. Yet, the more I've known him all these years, I'm amazed at the things that he does. He's in control of everything. And God created everything. That's nothing new to anybody here in this room sitting here today, because you're all Christians. But how marvelous it is, how wonderful it is, that there's nobody like him. Nobody. And what I have learned so much, probably within the last 3 years, is how many idols are on the land. Now, most of us might not worship a statue, but idols is what we place before him. He doesn't become number one. And he has to become number one in all of our lives in this room, whether we're young or whether we're old. He has to, no matter what is going on, to be first place. You have to know him. You have to spend time with him. One of the things that I had to discipline myself was to get up early, because I got up early all my life to work. And I'd like to be able to sleep in at least until 9 o'clock. And I tell people, don't call me until 10. But the Lord wakes me up at 3 in the morning. He might download something to me. Sometimes he'll wake me up at 5. And he's not interested that I'm bringing my bucket list to him. He's interested in that I just praise him and thank him and say to him, what do you want to say to me this morning? I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't want to hear it. But he wants every one of us to take that time, whether you're on the job, in the car, or whatever, to listen to what he has to say. I think I'm very thankful that he's taught me how to trust in him. But as I get older, he takes me up to a new level of trust. I don't know if everybody wants to admit that, but all of us like taking control. I'm in control of this, I can do this, I can do that. But isn't it powerful when we give that control over to the Lord?
Amen.
And he has his way, and it's even better than what we were going to do.
Yep. We tend to botch it up.
Yeah, we really do, because we want to do it this way and fix this and whatever and fix people, and that's not a job. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody in here that I know has given their life to the Lord, then you don't own yourself. And be thankful for that. The Lord doesn't really care if you fix yourself all up and, you know, fix your hair up and, you know, kind of all that stuff. No. It's okay. You gotta paint your face, paint your face. But we're supposed to walk as light and to walk as salt out there in that world. To be in the classroom, to be anywhere. We're supposed to walk that way. I was looking, trying to decide what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say this morning. But you know, I remember with young people, we've got young people in here today. I remember studying about the Mayflower and the Pilgrims and kind of all that stuff. And you know, the kind of nice hat. I've got some pictures out there of the tie, I call it the top hat, that they wore, you know, kind of a suit. And you know, these were, I don't know what those pants were called. They were really short and they had buckles on their shoes. You know, and that's the way we thought the men looked. And the women had these old dresses and went down to their ankles. And I really want you to hear this for a moment. They never look like that. Not at all. And I love going to the Smithsonian's. I don't do that anymore. I don't have money to go, number one. But in the years that I went to the Smithsonian, they have brought back artifacts. And one of the things that I found was that what their menu was like. So I thought I'd take a few minutes and talk to you about that. Their menu was all kinds of nuts. Walnuts. They had goose. They had duck. They had some kind of a swan, which looks a little different than ours. They had pigeons. And they had venison. Yum, 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 all that stuff. Another thing, and they show you examples of that in the Smithsonian. I found that they did have corn. They had to learn to plant corn. And I don't know about you, but when we talk about cornbread, corn, making it into this, making it into your Doritos, Tostitos, whatever, that's all done with corn base. And they did have that back then. And they had beech nuts, which I know exactly nothing about except that gum has a lot of beech nut in it in the old days. And I have my opinion of what I thought the Native Americans looked like. But truthfully, they collected their food and dried it for a long period of time and shared that. And one of the things that the Smithsonian showed was that they ate eel. I thought, how gross. They ate all kinds of shellfish. How many of us really knew that? All the things that we thought that they did really didn't exist. So I put a little memo, because I love to research, into Google, and I was asking about potatoes. I love potatoes. Not really supposed to have them, but I love potatoes. And what I found out from the Smithsonian is they did not have any mashed potatoes. They didn't have any potatoes at all, which I was shocked about. And one of the things that they told me when I researched it was that white potatoes originated in South America. Really? Our potatoes that we like? Came from South America. Another thing was, I thought, well, they must have sweet potatoes. No problem with that. They say sweet potatoes are better than regular potatoes for you. And so I thought, well, gosh, you know, I did a little research. They had no sweet potatoes. No. And sweet potatoes comes from the Caribbean. So I was just really shocked at what I thought the first Thanksgiving was all about. They didn't even have the crust, I don't know if you noticed, but you know those black jackets and those top hats and their shirts were all white and stuff like that. That really wasn't the way it was. I was just really, really amazed at that. And I wanted to share that, how thankful we should be that we didn't have such a great Thanksgiving meal. Are you hearing me? And today, as Americans, if I could say it that way, we cook turkey in a lot of different ways. Some of us fry it, some of us put wine in it, some of us put it in some kind of a bag, some of us just stick it in with chicken broth, some like it with this, some like it with apples, some people like they put dressing in, oh, I could just go on and on. Well, isn't it amazing that wasn't at the first Thanksgiving, but yet that's kind of our thing. And the Lord just kind of, I don't know, kind of downloaded how thankful we should be that we have what we've got and not take it for granted. The Lord also showed me that we can't control our own lives. When we're totally sold out to Him and bought by His blood, we belong to Him. He's in charge. And I think I've learned that more and more as I've gotten older about Jesus. I think another thing that I wrote down is that He has such a perfect plan for us. I never thought Joe and I would have this church here. And there's many times I said to the Lord, what are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, you know what I found out? Is that He has a plan for all of us here. Every one of you kids, there were only 12 disciples. They were the closest to Him. There were really 72. But close to Him. And they changed things. Why? Because they were so sold out to the Lord. It breaks my heart to know that there's no church groups, I can say it that way, Bible groups among kids at even one of our high schools here. That's your friend. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that there's no talking about Jesus and what He can do for you. But yet we allow and we legalize marijuana. We legalize things that can really affect our life. But yet we can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I really would like to see a change in that. I really would. Truthfully, when I think of what all the pilgrims went through, they still honored God. Do we honor God when we're going through the hard times? That's what it says in the Smithsonian, in their diaries or journals or whatever you'd like to call them, is that they always gave thanks to Him. So I said, why shouldn't we have the same kind of gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done for us? When I was talking with Chris this morning, we were talking about life and breath and about this precious baby. You know, you could walk out this door and you could be gone. Just like that. He breathes life into us every day, and yet we take it so much for granted. And one of the things that we realized was when our little princess went through different things, we realized that there had to be a warm air that went into this baby. Do you know we have warm air that comes into us? We don't really think about it, do we? I didn't. Until I really saw different things that people were going through. And you know what? I kind of put, you know, I've not been able to take that love down and the chain down and things like that. He loves us so much. And He's the only one that can break all these chains that are wrapping us up that we think that we can't breathe and can't swallow and can't even make it another day. It's when we come to the cross, we lay ourselves down, we come to the altar, we die of who we are, we surrender. He can break those chains off us. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Are you this morning thankful for that? We need to thank God for everything that He's done. And really, it should become a habit. We should do it automatically. And all of a sudden, you know, the more we keep on thanking Him for this and thanking Him for that, and what he's done, we get a new heart. We get a kind of a kinder heart. We really have a heart of gratitude. And I really want you to know that is not normal. That's from the grace of God. Our hearts, when people tick us off, we would wipe them out in a minute. But I want you to know that the more that we thank the Lord, the more he fills us up with the fruit of grace. You know, I don't have no problems telling people what I think. But then sometimes what I say isn't always what they need. Sometimes what is really important is that words can pierce, words can hurt. And we have to ask the Lord to give us a grace of how to speak to someone, what to say to someone. I think something that I thought from the seminar that hit me the hardest was love. Truthfully, I never had a problem understanding love. I came from wonderful parents. I came from parents that encouraged me. Joe and I feel gave love to our kids and protected them the best that we know how, and they're serving the Lord today. Are you hearing me? We need to love at a young age. And Zoe, I'm saying that to you today. You are greatly loved. Greatly loved. The kids here, you are greatly loved by the Father. He loves you. Even when nobody else does, maybe some days. The Lord loves you. But one of the things that I learned from this seminar is you have to be willing to accept. You have to be willing to allow someone to come in and love you. You have to say, okay, I'm going to be loved today. You know, it's just like a person who loves to give gifts. That's one of my ministries. I love to give gifts. But I have learned to receive a gift when it was given to me. That was a more difficult time. I could give away. I could do that. But to have someone else give it to me, it was harder for me. So the Lord helped me with that. We have to be willing to allow the Lord to love upon us, and we should be thankful for that. Thankful for it. Thankful he's with us every day. And I realized, which, you know, hey, I thought I knew it all. And then when you get to be in high school, you know, you don't think your parents know anything. And you think you can just do this and do that. And you're in charge of everything. And, you know, life is very precious. One of the strongest things in our tool belt is obedience. Obeying what the Father has for us. Obeying mom and dad. Obeying mom, whomever you live with. It's important that we understand that. And we need to cherish every day that we have given to us. We may not always understand everything. We might not, but I want you to know how precious the Lord's love is. And you know what I find? I don't know about you guys, but I've had to learn to laugh again. Everything's serious as you get older. The bills get worse. There's so much to do every time you turn around. All the jobs you got to do, you don't think you're going to get them done. And it's like, how am I supposed to laugh about that? And what I have found is that some of the things that I am so concerned about, and those are nothing to the Lord. Nothing. He's in charge of everything. But the Lord wants me to laugh. And we got a chance to go to a church, which the pastor wanted to take that down, and he has now, was showing Jesus laughing. If you don't get it, he's probably laughing. He's funny. there's laughter that comes from him. We make him out like that. Ooh, that one is so tough on us. We have to learn to laugh. A couple years ago, I had my joy sign that was flashing. And Joe goes, oh my gosh, you know, isn't that kind of gaudy? Uh-huh. But you know, we really have to have that joy.
That's right.
We do. We really do. Like, my husband just gets all worked up. I'm going, well, I'm not watching that on TV. I'm going to go watch Homer. And my husband goes, that ain't fairy tale. And he's right. But you know what I love about it? Is that in all, whatever situation is going on, someone gets worked out and there's a lot of loving and hugging and kissing.
That's right. Always happy. Amen.
And you know, we should kind of have that attitude, shouldn't we? I'm really serious. You know, I never had any problem understanding God and understanding that when I couldn't do something, that he reaches his hands down to me and grabs me by the hand and just lifts me right up. So is everything going to be okay? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. I really am. There is so much evilness out there. Every time there's nothing at the theater. And if you turn on the TV, it is so violent. And you kids are being exposed to things that are so violent. Someone you're not getting along with or whatever, punch their lights out. There's all kinds of, I don't know how to really say it, but you know, all of a sudden you just see a person who changes their whole structure of their body and they become some witch, warlock, whatever. Well, that's just a movie. That's not a movie, it's for real. Witchcraft is for real. It's nothing to be goofing around with. And you might go, oh, there she goes. I am so serious. When everything is falling apart on you, or you're hanging with people, or you're Facebooking, or you're messaging, and you are really getting a charge out of some of the evil stuff that's out there, I'm going to tell you, you're opening the door, and you're on dangerous grounds.
Yeah. Right.
I want every kid to hear me today.
Opening it up for the demonic
You
spirits.
Are opening it up for Satan, whoever, his demonic angels to come after you.
And they will.
And they will. I want you to know when you know something ain't right, you turn around and get out of there. When you know that something is being said to you, you delete it. I'm just telling you, it's a real serious situation here, and it's getting worse. And when I turn on TV, and I see these spirits, and I don't know when you can get into all the detail of it, or black blah, blah, blah coming out of someone's mouth, those are demons of hell, and they're real. And when you open that door up, you're in trouble. Because Jesus is real. Satan is real, but if you know the blood of Jesus and his name, his great name, every demon of hell has to bow down to that name. That's why I had everybody in here just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because the more you say it, the more that it gets in you. That's the best tool you can ever have. Life is precious. Life is important. And we need to cherish every bit of it. I love worship. I could have just stopped this whole thing today because we were started out in praise, but man, we went into worship. Worship is not caring what anything is going on around you, people, whatever, but it's worshiping Him. It's worshiping who he is. In Romans 8, 28, it says, when we worship and praise the Lord, we're thanking him. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to express that any better than that. When you get into worship, you get so lost, you don't know where you are. And that's the way all of us should be. And we need to thank him when we're lost in him. I know so many Christian people who say they are Christians and they're unthankful. Though we need to be thankful. We need to say, Lord, you took all my pain, every bit of pain. And we need to war when that pain comes upon us. Do you understand that? 3 days ago, I was limping so bad I could not walk. I could not go down the steps. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I don't even know what I did. It was really bad. So I did things I knew to do. I found this little boot thing, or Joe found it for me. I put it on my right foot. And then my left foot started swelling. I really had a hard time. And I just didn't focus on me. I just want you to hear this from me. I kept on thanking the Lord because, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to walk. I thank you that I'm going to be healed. I thank you, Lord, that the attack that has come upon me, I rebuke it and I plead the blood of Jesus on me. And when we went to the women's conference or whatever, that women's meeting, I didn't have to wear my boot. I could even walk down the step. I don't know what happened, but you need to know the power that's in you. And I love that. And at the conference, we heard that we were like a Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. That when we're so full of him, we can be all that he wants us to be. We have to be thankful. We have to be humble. We have to come before him. And everybody can see it's his work. It's his work in us. Hallelujah. I want you to really hear that. I know that God can take the pain in your life. I know that he can heal everybody that's in here. And every one of us have to know who we are in him. We have to know that he is our great healer, and we need to thank him for that.
Amen.
Vicki has a powerful song that we've done, and it's, Lord, take me in. Take me in. Take me in to where you are. Take me in so that I can just worship you. Take me in. Don't leave me in the other courts. We live in the world where there are so many people that aren't thankful. And we must not fall into that trap. And I feel like the Lord wants me to say that for some reason today. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of the Lord rule in your heart, to which deeds you were called into one body to be thankful. And verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus and be thankful. I love that. You know the verse I said? Colossians 3:15-17. We need to devote our life, and we learned this. And I thought, man, I already know that. You ever get that attitude? No, I already know that. Nothing new to me. But you know, I think the Lord's telling us, reminding us, that how important prayer is and how important it is to give him thanks. Well, I got this appointment, I got this doctor's appointment, I got this, and oh, hey, you know what? We all have things we got to get done with. But prayer should be number one in your life. Number one. The other thing that I put down here is that when we do the right things, he gives us joy in our heart. So Psalms 19:7-9, I want you to take time to read that. That fear causes us not to do certain things. But when it talks about the fear of the Lord, I like to tell that to kids. The fear of the Lord means to know that it's holy. It's not talking to be scared of God. That's not the fear. It's talking about knowing who he is and how he should be a part of your life. That's what that fear means. To understand the word, to understand his ordinances. So I wrote this down that Thanksgiving is a time of gratitude. I'm thankful to God. I don't know if I thank him enough. I can stand at this pulpit and tell you, I don't know if I do. But he is our creator and he is our provider. And he will guide us and he cares about us. And I'm thankful that he's not up, down, wishy-washy. He's steadfast. He loves us. His love is with us forever. And Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on the changes from one season of life to another. Where are you today? Remember the true meaning of Thanksgiving, especially into next week, to be thankful for what you have. Do you really know him? You know, like, I'm thankful the Lord gave Joe and I a nice house. But you know what? If that house was gone tomorrow, well, that isn't what carries us through. What carries us through is knowing him. Knowing he loves us. Knowing he will always take care of us. You know, he can strip us of everything. You know, sometimes I really believe that. I really believe sometimes we lose our house, we lose our job, we lose certain friends we have. We learn certain family, and I always say, oh my gosh, why does that happen, Lord? Because we're in a fallen world, but I believe it's more than that. I believe it's trusting in him with everything. Trusting him in everything. It's so big. And there's different trust levels, and I want you to hear that. The other thing I've put down here, we need to be thankful for our family, even if they rub us the wrong way. You know, when I lost my sister this year, who was younger than me, that pierced my heart. It is so hard when we lose certain loved ones that you think, man, they're not going to fall before me. I'm the oldest. But you know, the Lord will help us with that grief. He will help us when we go through different things that we go through. He wants us, he's there all the time. I'm so thankful about that. He's there all the time. We need to thank him for our health. I went through some trying times with my health. But I can really see how things are improving. But I still know who I belong to. And I still never quit asking the Lord to heal me. I'm so happy and I thank the Lord personally myself when I see my kids going through hell, literal hell, knowing that they're trusting in the Lord. And that their faith has grown beyond what I can put into words. It's so powerful when you can see certain family members. Like I had a sister who redid her vows and everything, dedicated her heart to the Lord. That's He gives us hope. I think if I could put anything on a building, I think I might have big, gigantic words. Hope. Because you know when all of us in here lose our hope, we're in trouble. If you don't have hope in Jesus, you ain't gonna make it. You don't have your eyes on Jesus. So we need to give thanks in our heart to God for all he has done and the plans he still has. Something need to get off of you. It's not about you. about him. All the churches here in Menzie County, I'm thankful for that. How many churches are in Traverse City, Interlochen? And we still have so many people that are lost. He's coming. Do you care enough to help someone to come to know who Jesus Christ is? How powerful that is. We had a lady who, I don't even know how many kids she brought in here, 4 or 5 kids, and I don't know where the Holy Spirit said you need to help you ask these kids if they want to have Jesus come into their heart. I thought, well, Lord, I thought, you know, that we're serving you. You know, with, I'm on this page right here, and he goes, now. And he gave me the words, and those kids all gave their heart to the Lord. That was powerful. Just blew me right out of the water. You see, we can plan all this that we want to do, but you know, it's the Holy Spirit that's moving in our lives. We have to give room for the Spirit of God. What does he want to do? So I want to leave this with you. Be thankful. Say a kind word. Think of some of the memories, the childhood memories you had. Thanksgiving is a fun time in my house. Christmas is a fun time in my house. And I'm getting excited because next I'm going to be doing Christmas. I love it. I love Thanksgiving. And I really want you to hear that from the Lord because I have all this I could have given. But I feel like the Lord is just saying that we need to be thankful for all that he's done for us and what he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
And where he's going to take us. So I want to encourage you with that. I want to encourage you when you look out there, you can see how wonderful he is. So thank you. Thank you for coming. We're going to do communion. I know that, and I know we're going to take our offering up. But I do thank you for coming. This is a busy time for people. We're going to have a wonderful dinner. We're going to celebrate Elizabeth's birthday, too. I wasn't going to do that. And the Lord said, my family is my family. You are his family. I don't know about you, that's powerful. Someday we're going to be with the groom up there in heaven. We're going to have a feast for 3.5 years. I believe that. I don't care about all that stuff that's out there. I'm going to go up there and have a good old time with the Lord. And I believe our Lord is a great dancer. I'm going to dance with him, have a good time with him. I want everybody to know him like that. He's wonderful. And it also says that we will take that cup and drink the cup of him at peace. So, I want to encourage you today. You can be really thankful and happy. I'm part of that family. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you are too.